Well, good evening. Boy, what a beautiful day the Lord provided for us, huh? We praise God for that. And our numbers may be few this evening, but we're here. And praise God that we can be here together as family in Christ. This morning, of course, we had our school kids all packed in over here. We had quite a group. And so put the two services together, and we just praise God for the opportunity to be together and worship and in the Word. Well, we continue this midweek series, The Crossroads. Last week, we heard from the great king of Israel of the Old Testament, David. Tonight, we're going to hear from Judas Iscariot. And so that'll the theme of our service, as you see on the cover, talking about betrayal. And so that'll be what we follow as it is printed in the service bulletin. Everybody get one as you came in this evening? Good. And all of the hymns, the words are printed out again this week, so don't have to refer to the hymnals. You got it all right here. Well, we will begin then with the opening hymn, and I would just invite the congregation to stand. Of the blood of Jesus, to be able to gather here this evening as his precious children, to gather united in this incredible faith that the Lord has gifted to each one of us. And we gather in the name of the one true, living, almighty God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Therefore, we give glory to God, who raised him up and gave us the promise of salvation. Amen. And let us just take a moment in silence this evening for personal confession. And we confess publicly together, Lord of all mercy, we come to you with bowed heads and bended knees, seeking your pardon. We confess that we have turned away from the Savior in thought, word, and deed. We have sought our own way, forgotten his sacrifice for us, chosen the easy way at the crossroads of betrayal. Forgive us, Lord, strengthen our faith, confirm our commitment to Jesus' way, empower us by the Spirit to live the life of faithful witness to your love for us in Jesus Christ. And at the command of our Savior who offered himself for us, I announce to you the full and free forgiveness of all your sins. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts and fill your lives. And you may be seated. My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Well, our first reading from God's Word this evening, the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 33, and I begin to read at verse 13. Hear now the word of our God. Hear, you who are far off, what I have done, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressions, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ear from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking on evil, he will dwell on the heights. His place of defense will be the fortresses of rocks. His bread will be given him. His water will be sure. And this is the word of our God. The epistle reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I invite the congregation to stand as we honor the Holy Gospel. And the Holy Gospel recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and I begin to read at verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. And one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter mentioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And you may be seated, and we continue now with the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Crossroads. Crossroads, they are for all of us. And you know, life is really going good for quite some time, and then it happens. It comes as a crossroad, a choice point, where we have to make a decision, and there will be consequences for that decision. And we may ask ourselves, which way now? What will be the consequence of the choice I take? Which way does my heart call? What makes sense? what's God's will in this matter? What is His way? And you know, the answers aren't always easy, are they? And sometimes it can bring us great spiritual turmoil and pain as we consider the crossroad. Sometimes it can bring us to our knees. And other times, it can bring us to our destruction. Oh yeah, I'm sure you're just seething tonight, aren't you? You're just seething because the betrayer is in the room, right? Betrayer. How would you like to have that legacy? Betrayer. You hear Judas Iscariot? And what do you think immediately? Be honest. Betrayer. Now, last week, we had quite a character here, didn't we? King David. Oh, the great king of Israel. Yeah, what a character he is. Oh, and how is David remembered? Greatest king of Israel. Oh, he's a man after God's own heart, right? But did you hear about David? Boy, he wasn't so nice to his neighbor, was he? Commits adultery with her. And he wasn't very nice to his commander of his army, was he? Oh, no, he actually had him sent to the front lines and killed. But how do we remember David? Oh, what a man of great character. And then there's Peter, one of my peers, one of my colleagues. Now, I'll give it to you. You may think denial a little bit when you hear Peter, but be honest. What do you hear most of the time? What do you think when you hear Peter? It's that rock, right? That solid rock. And then there's this guy, Judas Iscariot, right? Yeah. Do you think anything else of me? Betrayer? Nope. That's what you think. Be honest. Well, you know what? Think about what I had to deal with. Think about those other 11 apostles that I was with. They weren't exactly saints either, you know. James and John, what are they? They're even bringing mom into the little discussion. Oh, we're going to talk to Jesus because Jesus is going to make this kingdom on earth, and we're going to sit at Jesus' right and we're going to sit at Jesus' left. And they're even bringing mom in to try and get this done. Do you think they were really all that great a character of people? No, but then Judas Iscariot, betrayer. Well, you know, and fairness, we were together for 3 years. Think about that. A close-knit community, us 12, and some other disciples with us. We followed Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he got us excited. Man, he performed miracles, and we saw the miracles. He had multitudes that were following him. And we were just certain the time was going to come, and he was going to raise up his sword. He was going to call the multitudes, and we were going to be at the front of the lines, and we were going to take care of those ruthless Romans. And he was going to establish his kingdom, and we would get to rule in this kingdom. It was exciting. And then Jesus, he keeps bringing up this thing about death. About death. And you know, Jerusalem, the last place you'd want to go. If you're going to go and defeat the Romans, Jesus does not want to go to Jerusalem. You know what happens there? Generally, it's bad. And they're threatening his life. We saw it many times. He claimed to be the Christ. And what did the church leaders want to do? They wanted to put him to death by stoning. Remember when Lazarus died? What do we have to do? Go back to Jerusalem. And remember, hey, talk about Thomas. There's another one. You know, we got to remember all my peers here, my colleagues, because they weren't exactly the saints that you may think they were in comparison to me. Remember, Thomas says, well, okay, I guess we'll go to Jerusalem with you, Jesus, and we'll just die with you. Boy, that's exciting. Well, wouldn't you know, Jesus goes, but an incredible thing happened. He brought Lazarus back to life. That doesn't happen every day. And then, of course, that caused all kinds of chaos among the church leaders. What are we going to do now? We got to try not only to kill Jesus, we got to get rid of Lazarus too. And then what does Jesus do? It's the Passover, and he comes back to Jerusalem, of all places. And we're out just outside of Jerusalem, a couple miles east, Bethany, and we're at Simon the leper's house. Did you hear that? Simon the leper. Huh, another miraculous healing. Here we are at Simon's house, and remember, I'm the treasurer. I get to watch over all the money. It's kind of an honorable position for those 3 years. And we go in, and Mary's there with Martha. You wouldn't guess what Mary's doing. She's got this really expensive perfume, a jar of it. Do you know how much this stuff is worth? That jar was worth over a year's wages. And what is she doing with it? Oh, she's pouring it on Jesus' head, pouring it over his body. Then she stoops down and she's pouring it over his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. You know what she was doing? She was anointing his body like he was dead. What's that all about? And this is the one that's going to rise up and he's going to conquer the Romans? You know, I'm thinking now it's not looking so good on our side. Well, then the crossroad comes. The crossroad comes. And I think about the money, how that could have been spent, wasted, just pouring it on Jesus' body. You know, that could have been given to the poor. Well, of course, given to me maybe, right? Well, then we come to the Passover meal. And you know, Jesus did a pretty incredible thing. I mean, do you know how stinky our feet were that night? Stinky. And here's the master, and he stoops down, and you wouldn't believe what he does. He washes all of our feet. The master becomes the servant, and he's washing our feet. Peter didn't want anything to do with it, and then Jesus instructed him, well, you need to do this. And he washed my feet too. The one in my heart that knew where things were going with me. And yet, Jesus washed my feet. The master became the servant. And you know, he called us to do the same. That if we were going to be masters, then the way we carry that out is by being the servant. An incredible lesson, one that I didn't really like hearing myself, but it was pretty incredible. And then, as we're done with that meal, Jesus does something that shocked me. Oh my goodness. You know what happens? We're sitting down and we're eating the Passover meal, and Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. How did he know? Now, I didn't think anybody knew. You know, the chief priests, the elders, the temple guard, the teachers of the law, they're all working together. They want to take Jesus out. And they were talking about this. The rumor was out there. They already had a plan and a scheme. And guess what? I decided, you know what? That's probably a pretty good idea. I think I need to go talk to those guys because where Jesus is going, it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. And so before the meal, I talked to him. And you know what? Me, the money guy, I'm not going to do something like that for free. But I asked them how much they'd pay me. And you know what they said? They'd give me 30 coins. And that's worth about 5 weeks' wages. That's not too bad a payment for just pointing out Jesus. And of course, their problem was we got these big crowds. How in the world are we going to deal with Jesus? If we try to arrest him in the midst of this crowd that's all excited about him being here in Jerusalem, it's going to be riots and chaos. So we got to figure out a way to find him in a quiet place. And I said, I can do that for you. I'm one of the 12. I know where these guys go. I know what their plans are. And we hear that Satan entered into my heart. Oh, I know you're the churchy people here tonight, right? You got your lives all together. Yeah, look at the smiles. Yeah. Nothing wrong in your heart, right? You would never, ever think of betraying Jesus, right? Well, you know what betrayal is? Ever cheat on your taxes? Ever try to get even with somebody because they did something bad to you? Do you think those things are things God wants you to do? No, betrayal is every time that you, the churchy people, because you're looking down on me, the betrayer, every time you know God's will and you intentionally and willfully go against His will, you're betraying the same Jesus. Oh, you're thinking, though, I've never really done anything all that bad. Ah, but what about the things you haven't done? Think about that. The things the Lord has told you to do, and, oh, no, I don't have time today, Jesus, but I might get to it next week. Yeah, how about that? So, when you look at me, the betrayer, maybe you want to think about yourself a little bit there. But Jesus, He knows. He knows the heart. I was shocked. He knew. And He announces it to the group, but He did it in a very compassionate way. He didn't point me out. He could have said, there's Judas and he betrayed me. But Jesus didn't do that. In fact, He's very subtle about it. So subtle that my peers are there and they're like, who is it? I don't think it's me. Is it you? Who's the one that's the betrayer? And then Peter, he was by John, and John was next to Jesus. So Peter said, you know, John, why don't you ask Jesus who it is? And so John just asked him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus, again, very subtly, he says, the person that I give this morsel of bread to, he's the one. Jesus gives the morsel of bread, and then he said these words, what you are about to do, do quickly. And so I left the room. It was dark. I got out of there. And you know what? My colleagues, they actually thought that I was going to go out and help someone. They thought, because I was the treasurer, Jesus sent me out quickly to get money to help with the feast events that were still coming up. Or they thought maybe I was just going to go out and help some of the poor with the money that we had gathered. They had no clue. And I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to pull this off. And so I knew where they would go. I knew that they would go to the Kidron Valley, just east of the city gate. Oh, what a beautiful place. Go down through the valley, go up on the side of the Mount of Olives, and you know, there's a beautiful olive grove out there, and I know that Jesus likes to go there because we went with Him several times, and it's quiet, and it's dark, and guess what? There's no crowds. No crowds. And so I get together, temple guards, and I tell them, you know, it's dark out there. You won't be able to see who Jesus is, but I'll go up and I'll give him a kiss, common greeting of the day, and the one I kiss is Jesus, and you'll know it. And I did it. I pulled it off. I got the temple guards. Jesus and the other 11 are out there in the garden. I come with the temple guards. I go up, I kiss Jesus, and right away they nab him. They arrest him. And then they drag him off like a dog. You know, suddenly I was beginning to question what I did. In fact, I became very remorseful and I was beside myself. I mean, what do I do? I mean, I thought this was the right thing, but look at how they're treating Jesus. They're condemning him, and I know how great a man this person is. And so I thought, I'm going to run to the church authorities, the leaders, and I know they'll have mercy on me. And so I go to them, and I'm going to make restitution too. I'm going to bring those 30 coins, and I'm going to give them back to them. And I did. Yes, all of them. And then I pleaded for their forgiveness. I said, I have sinned. You know what they said to me? What's that with us? That's your responsibility. That was like a dagger going into my heart. No mercy, no compassion. And the one who was merciful and compassionate, I turned him in. Where do I turn? I don't see any hope in the future. I can't really turn to myself. I can't even look at myself now. Oh, do you think I could go to Jesus? There's no way that Jesus would forgive me. I can't turn to God. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my life. Yeah, King David, he had his bad qualities, didn't he? But guess what? He was a man after God's heart. You know why? Because God called him to be his child. And David trusted God. When Nathan came to him, he trusted that God would forgive him. Peter? Yeah, Peter certainly had his problems, didn't he? Jesus even said to Peter one time, "Get behind me, Satan." That's pretty powerful. And then Peter, in the midst of all this chaos and confusion, denies Jesus three times. We're going to hear from Peter later. But remember Jesus looked at him? Have you ever thought of the look? I think it was a look of mercy and compassion and love. And Peter knew, he trusted that God would forgive him. Sad that Judas didn't, because God forgave him also. But he refused it, as far as we know. If we say that we have no sin, what does God say? Pardon? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is what? Faithful and just, will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Do you know what the only unforgivable sin is? Refusing the forgiveness that the Lord offers to us. Praise God for the gift of His Son. Praise Jesus for the gift of His life. Because if we look in the mirror, we all have a little Judas Iscariot in us, don't we? Maybe a lot. But we're forgiven. And we can start anew. And God blesses us. In the name of His Son, who loved us so much, He died for us and lives for us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And at this time, Hank, if you would be so gracious, I'd invite you to bring the offering plates forward. And I invite the congregation to stand for prayer. And let us bring our prayers and petitions to God, who hears and answers the pleas of our heart. We pray for our broken world. By your mighty power and the promise of Christ, send your peace to those in our world who are suffering in war, in persecution, in oppression, in terrible need. Make us agents of healing in this hurting world. In your mercy, hear us, Lord. We pray for this congregation and for our school, for the ministry here at Trinity, and for the congregations that are represented here this evening in this room, and the church throughout the world. Give faithful shepherds, bold witnesses, caring helpers, and wise leaders to your people. In your mercy, hear us, Lord. We pray for ourselves. Send your Spirit to empower us and walk with us as we face the trials and the temptations of this life. When we are tempted to turn away from the Savior, when the choices at the crossroads of our faith are too difficult for us, Lord, strengthen our will and our willingness to follow the one who calls us. In your mercy, hear us, Lord. We pray for the sick, the suffering, the grieving, the lonely, and especially those we name in our hearts. Lord, this evening we pray for the family of Calvin, just 6 years old, goes through major heart surgery and didn't survive after a few days after the surgery. And Lord, we pray for Karen Rutt as she faces surgery tomorrow dealing with cancer. And Lord, there's so many others. You know them all. Be with them by the power of your presence. Heal, help, and comfort them according to your will. In your mercy, hear us, Lord. Amen. And Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this night and forevermore. Amen.
Jesus, I will ponder now on your holy grace.
and go in God's peace and serve the Lord.